fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. No waffling. Everything is black and white. Bring it. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hello there. It's Brady and Walker, Greg Brady, Andrew Walker. It's a Tuesday morning, first day back to work for some people. It's old hat to us. When's it Friday? When is Ping Pong Friday? Soon?
A few days. Although I hear we're doing a field trip tomorrow. Field trip.
I have to ask. I need a permission slip, though, at some point.
We'll get it. We can be field trip buddies. There's old hands and all
but
that.
You have a relative coming into town, too. Should I not mention that?
It's fine.
Is he wanted by the law? Is he skipping work?
Not anymore. I think there's a statute of limitations. But
it doesn't go province to province. Once you get across a border, I don't think they respect...
I don't think the Ontario, like Manitoba border is the same as, say, like Mexico, U.S. I think it's different.
Yeah, they didn't film traffic there with Benicio del Toro at Ontario, Manitoba. Far from it. So four games in the NHL last night and three teams down 2-0. Three teams. Look, if you're not facing elimination, it's virtual elimination. Three teams down 2-0 all respond. All win tight games, really. You could argue Dallas pulled away from Anaheim in the end. But they all stay alive and make it a lot more interesting. And now we've had a fair number, Andrew, of 2-0 teams lose series in the last several years. And that has to be going through some heads right now.
I've always thought that, I mean, I hate the narrative that, you know, when you're down 3-0, we're still in it and you just got a game at a time. No, 3-0 is death. 3-0 is, there's a reason. There's been like two teams coming back from 3-0 deficits to win a series in the last 50 years. Doesn't happen.
And you're often dead in the fourth game. You're just, I mean, how can you get motivated?
Oh, absolutely.
Like Tampa tonight. Let's see what kind of motivation they have.
There's this placebo effect, you know, when you switch venues for game three. I think it's always been that way. I didn't say this yesterday, and I ended up not doing it, but I would have put... a lot. You go back over the years, and I wonder what the percentage is of a team down 2-0 heading home for game three. It's always their best game of the series. I would have put a lot of money on a three-team parlay last night of Dallas, Minnesota, and Chicago to all win.
Yeah.
And they all did to get back in. Doesn't mean they're going to win the series. Doesn't mean they're always the better teams in these games. But I guess in that sense, it wasn't overly surprising. I think the LA Kings will beat San Jose tonight. I think San Jose is going to win the series. Yeah. But if you can't bounce back game three at home, when can you?
And sweeps are tough. I mean, there's 15 rounds every year. There were two last season. One was the Canucks round one meltdown, which carried almost into this season, even with a new coach. And there was one the year before that was Phoenix in the second round getting a sweep. So in the last 30 rounds, there's been three sweeps. It's just, it's rarer than it's ever been before because... probably in part because of the salary cap. You don't have teams that can roll through and be 12-2 going into the Stanley. L.A. was the exception, not the rule, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, definitely. The parity is one thing, and I've heard this comment once in a while. People say, and it's different, I think, because we live in Canada, and I was in Alberta, and I'm used to no playoff hockey ever in the last decade, so it seems, for the Oilers and the Calgary Flames. Here, the Leafs have made the playoffs once in the last 9 years. One team in Canada's in the playoffs.
Right before you moved here, they made it.
Yeah, basically.
And they were almost, they look like they were going to make it this year for a while.
They did. Yeah. They did. That fateful night in LA. But the point is, some would say, well, yeah, half the teams in the NHL make the playoffs. It's easy. I've never felt like it's easy. I've always felt like if you find a way to get into the playoffs, it means you're a pretty good hockey team. Right? Over 82 games, I don't really remember the last time someone completely bluffed their way into the postseason, like, say, a team in the NBA's Eastern Conference would this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not too many. I guess you could make the argument there's not too many phonies. And when you get there, how healthy are you? I mean, Tampa just had a 101-point season. This could be their last game tonight. They didn't have a bad year. If anything, they reestablished some credibility after missing the playoffs. And they found a start. They think they found a starting goalie. And they still miss Steven Stamkos for half the bloody season, more than that.
And I was surprised that there wasn't a lot of love given to the Minnesota Wild heading into this series against Colorado, right? A lot of people at Colorado going a couple rounds, and they are up 2-1. And Nathan McKinnon's obviously put on a show, but this Minnesota team with Suter and Parise, they nearly had 100 points this year.
I was thinking that last night. It's something we can debate a little bit this morning, though. Now, Minnesota didn't lose. Had they lost, and what a goal by Michael Granlund, as good an overtime goal as you'll ever see. Seek it out this morning. Seek and destroy. If they'd lost that game, they're down 3-0. And it's not exactly what Chuck Fletcher had planned when he had Ryan Suter and Zach Parise next to him and $100 million deals for both of them, basically, to win one playoff game in 2 years. And then you sent me an email and said exactly what I should keep in perspective. That they're both really young. They've built something. They've drafted well. They've got a lot of young players. Granlund's 21. So they got a lot of young players they really like a lot. They're going to be consistently good for a while. But they're lower expectations the first couple of years than they hope for bringing those two guys.
Yeah, last year, maybe you want to put it kind of like the Blue Jays season was, all these new guys coming in, Suter, Parise, these guys are superstars, and they made the playoffs, but they were, you know, cannon fodder for the Blackhawks in round one. It was an underwhelming year, but they show this commitment, right? They bring on, they make the trade for Pominville. There's a lot of people thinking that with, you know, Danny Heatley's money off the books, maybe Thomas Vanek lands in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Right? They're not cheap about it, and they got good young players. It'll be disappointing if they only win a couple of playoff games this year and last year, but I would think the Minnesota Wild are going to be in the playoffs for the next five, six, 7 years.
And did they find their future goalie? Because Darcy Kuemper was fantastic last night. He didn't have as much to do as Semyon Varlamov, but he made the saves when he had to. You get a shutout overtime playoff win, you're doing good things. He was a surprise start, basically, in Game 3. Last night. All right, so three teams basically stay alive. We've got a game night tonight in Toronto. We've got a great giveaway. We're going to send folks to Brooklyn to see the Nets and Raptors this weekend. We'll tell you how we'll do that after 6 o'clock. And Ari Dickey tries to right the wrongs of the early part of the season against Miguel Gonzalez. The Jays are back home tonight at Rogers Center. It's Brady and Walker. Lots to get to. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Trending now. Now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Raptors, Nets, Game 2. Bring it on. Will R.A. Dickey find his game tonight against the Orioles? And the Pens take a 2-1 lead on Columbus. And that's what's trending now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Everything you're talking about, they're talking about. Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Rolled in the head to Kunitz. Stepien scores! Well, they keep coming. Bobrovsky came to cut the angle. He did not. Now look what's happened. Game is tied.
It got tied, and it got into Pittsburgh's favor in a big hurry. The Penguins scoring at 5:53 of the third, 7:03 of the third, 8:06 of the third. UC Jokinen on a weird deflection. Olli Maatta took a point shot, and Pittsburgh took a 4-3 lead. Columbus furiously attempted to tie it. They even had a power play late, and actually gave up their own power play late and then tried to get the extra man out, but not enough. 2-3-1 leads blown in this series.
Three. Everybody blew one.
Yeah. You're right. Two by Columbus and one by Pittsburgh. And Marc-Andre Fleury, who only faced 20 shots, escapes with a 4-3 win, and Pittsburgh will have a 2-1 lead headed to Game 4 tomorrow night.
Yep. Narrative early in this game was Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't think you could like either of the first two goals as Columbus is up 2-0 early. That crowd is going crazy. And then it was weird because late in the second, buzzer beater from Brooks Orpik to make it 2-1.
Yeah.
And you felt like the game really had the potential to turn there, right? It's a one-goal game with Sid Malkin going into the third. But then Columbus comes out and makes it 3-1 again. And so that whole thing was erased. And then that two-minute span was very Leafs-Bruins-esque for Columbus. And you wonder if they can bounce back from it.
Yeah, it's asking a lot. And Pittsburgh is, you know, maybe that was the wake-up call for Pittsburgh. And the Orpik goal, I always felt like the hockey that I played and the hockey that I watched, when you give up a goal last minute or especially last 20 seconds, feels like you gave up two. You gave up the goal itself, and then there's that empty feeling that you were just one moment away, one play, one stoppage, one anything away from getting into the dressing room with a safe. So I always thought momentum carries over. And then you're right, the Pittsburgh never touched the puck at the start of the third, basically off the opening faceoff, and Columbus makes it 3-1, and that sinks Pittsburgh's hearts.
It's not like hockey is like basketball with buzzer beaters, but how about the final rush for Brandon Dubinsky? I mean, you want your heart up in your throat. So Dubinsky, with like 5 seconds to go, is racing through the neutral zone and just walks Paul Martin with an unbelievable toe drag, and he had Johansson backdoor, and he had a chance to sift one through Marc-Andre Fleury. That goal to tie it up, and it would have gone in with less than a second to go, would have been one of the most amazing playoff goals of all time.
So there were 7 goals scored in that game. There were 6 combined in the other 3, and there were obviously 3 shutouts. Darcy Kuemper, Corey Crawford, and obviously stepping up Kari Lehtinen against Anaheim last night. So we'll see what transpires tonight. 4 NHL games. They're all, 3 of them are early starts, and then you have the Kings late night game. They've moved the 8 o'clock game is now Rangers-Philly, and that game, should mention, is on Sportsnet 360 tonight. But City of Toronto focuses on the Raptors, and tonight will be game 2. And if you missed it, when last we left, we didn't know. We spoke to Dwayne Casey yesterday, and we didn't know if Masai Ujiri would be fined for his obscene language, the harmful language to, especially on an Easter weekend. And he, at first, was, the league announced, or it leaked out, that he was not going to be fined. And then it was reconsidered. I mean, he ended up getting a $25,000 fine, like, after dinner. It's like something didn't sit well with Adam Silver at dinner time. And the new commissioner, relatively new commissioner, decided $25,000 will do. And Masai Ujiri and MLSE will stroke that check. And maybe it's money well worth spent, because it woke everybody up to what the series was.
Makes sense. And I mean, Dwayne Casey was on our show yesterday, and we asked him about the officiating, and he wasn't going to bite on it, right? Yeah. He mentioned they didn't get any calls, but if he wanted to, he could have ripped into the officials and paid his fine, right? I mean, that's an option for these guys. You're allowed to talk. You're allowed to say what you want, but everything is going to hurt your pocketbook at the end of the day, and it did for Ujiri a little bit. Nobody cares, right? Fans don't care.
No, and it probably needs to be a precedent set. I mean, it's not a ridiculous amount of money for an NBA team, or probably for an NBA executive. It's like a couple $100 for you and me, and at this, $100 for you and me. It's also one of those scenarios.
50 me, but yeah.
45. It's also one of the scenarios where I don't know how much of a story it is, but you can't. It does set a precedent. I don't think anybody else is going to step up their coach or GM in the other 7 series and do what Ujiri did. But
I mean, we'll see what happens.
Then they say, "Well, how come you're not finding him?" I can't say F Golden State.
We'll see what happens
Oklahoma
in Game
City.
3 in Brooklyn, I guess.
Go screw yourself, San Diego.
Get a little more stabby, more than sweary. Who knows?
Anything's possible. But tonight's the series stays alive, or it kind of doesn't. 93% of teams that take a 2-0 lead in the NBA. We were just talking about the NHL when that happens. 93% of teams win the series. They don't have to sweep it, but
it's
they
a
have
must
to
win.
Win it.
Yeah, it's a must win for the Raptors. It's one thing, you know, losing 2 on the road, and okay, now we got to go back home and win 2 in a row, but we're better at home than we are on the road. You can't lose the first 2 at home. The home court advantage then is out the window for good, and that's almost impossible to bounce back from, especially when you have these vets on Brooklyn and they're going home. They'd be completely in the driver's seat. So it's a different feel tonight than it was in Game 1. Game 1, everyone is, not that people aren't excited now, but that's what it was. It was just this big feeling of excitement, and what do we got? Tonight, they got to win. They got to play much better than they did in Game 1.
And Brooklyn was a 16-25 road team during the regular season. That was their Achilles heel. That basically cost them the division, the fact the Raptors were better on the road than Brooklyn was by a large margin. We'll talk a lot about it. We'll let you know how you can go to Brooklyn and see a weekend game, and we'll put you up accommodation and get you there as well, thanks to our great friends at Porter Airlines. All that after 6. Let's do Now and Then for April 22nd.
Now and Then. A hopefully but potentially not entertaining look back at some of the great and not so great moments in this day's history.
I'll be back in time.
Well, on this date, 1 year ago, friend Ryan Faber celebrating a Man United Premier League title. They clinched the title on April 22nd. Today, he's celebrating their manager losing his job.
Very fantastic.
Anything
news
mixed in that Tim Hortons there?
No, there should be, but we'll work on that.
Moyes out.
Intern to the LCBO. No, it doesn't.
Brady out. Walker out.
Yeah, David Moyes.
Those hashtags going.
Fired today, as he should be. You take the champions by 11 points and bring them to 7th place and no Champions League and you're awful and now you're out.
That's so. The old, we gave him a Ferrari and he turned it into a moped type of thing.
Yeah.
It's always the don't follow a legend principle. Like, be the guy that follows the guy. Don't be the guy that follows the legend.
It's true, but the legend knocked on your door and said, hey, here's the keys to the Ferrari. Yeah. What are you going to say?
It kind of, Jay Leno survived it, but it was very difficult.
See,
so.
you don't want to take over whenever it is in a number of years. You don't want to take over for Bob McCown. You want to be the guy that takes over for the guy that gets fired
that guy
after Bob
be?
McCown.
And when is that happening?
I'm not commenting on any of that.
All right, I'll read your blog later.
Dan Riccio.
I heard it. I think Roger Lajoie is going to do a great job.
It'll be fantastic.
All right, anyway.
So, what happened on this date in history besides Man United winning the Premier League last year?
There you go. 1876, the first ever National League game was played in Philadelphia. National League sucks.
Philadelphia Athletics?
Probably. National League sucks compared to the American League.
Forgive me, but that's where the pitchers bat.
That's correct. Thank you, Andrew.
And
for
it's
that.
Terrible because of that, also.
I don't know.
I don't like
Philadelphia Athletics. Are they even around at 1876?
Well, who's the... I don't think it's the Phillies.
No, it's definitely not the Phillies.
Okay.
But I'm thinking it's like the Philadelphia Cracker Jacks or the
I have Philadelphia Athletics, I believe.
Lefty Grove was dealing.
Along with the Chicago White Stockings, Louisville Grays.
The Red Stockings.
The Hartford Dark Blues.
Good,
strange stuff.
1978, it's Earth Day today.
It is? I thought that was like 2 weeks ago.
I hope. Yeah.
What's the day where you turn off your lights?
Oh,
isn't that Earth Day?
Isn't that something else? I don't know. I think it's Earth Day.
Yeah, it's usually on a Saturday night, right? They say turn it off for about an hour on Saturday night.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, you're right. It's Earth Day.
Yeah. First ever Earth Day, 1970 on this date. Are you going to celebrate Earth Day today, Andrew?
Yeah, by littering.
Perfect.
Stop throwing those coffee cups on the ground and those banana peels in the recycle bin. That's compost.
We don't have a compost bucket.
I don't. I honestly don't really recycle anymore because.
Oh, don't say
no,
that.
No, listen.
And in an apartment?
Ten years ago, I watched. I was working weekends in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, and I watched the janitor. We had all these like compost, this paper, plastic, all these different bins, and I watched him take all the bins out and throw them all into the dumpster in
and
the
he's
back
a bad
alley.
That's a bad janitor.
I just think that happens everywhere. So
maybe
sue
like
me.
Maybe like 10% of janitors do that move.
Oh, I think it's a higher number than that.
I love recycling.
If you were a janitor, would you go to all that extra work? Of course not.
But I'll tell you what, I recycle because we're only allowed 4 garbage bags every 2 weeks. I just put them out this morning. So if I was allowed more, maybe I wouldn't be as religious about recycling, but I'm a maniac with separating
That's why
stuff.
Your van is full of garbage. You're just saving it up.
It's a gummy bears wrapper from October.
And in 1998... the Disney's Animal Kingdom opens. Have you gone with the kids yet?
No, where is that? What city is that?
Down in Orlando.
Forgive me, but I've never
there's
been.
There's like 700.
I have been to Orlando.
It used to be just like Disney and Epcot Center. Now there's like.
Busch Gardens is in Tampa. That's pretty big with it for animals.
That's an hour away from Orlando.
I don't know. Is it, Walker, you're going to Russia. Is there a zoo you're going to in the summer there?
They're very sketchy.
Sochi
very
Zoo.
Very sketchy Jews.
All right, let's go to birthdays.
All right.
Jack Nicholson.
I already know because
sent
it to
you
us.
You sent out the email.
He's 77.
Right, 77. Very excited. I was tweeting movie
still,
clips.
Still getting laid pretty
yes,
regularly.
Yes, of course he is.
You can't handle the truth. Yeah.
Remember the Lara Flynn Boyle? That was amazing. He got her when she was at the peak of her powers.
Very skinny.
Well, that's how he liked him.
Well, what I like about Jack Nicholson, he doesn't take every role. He takes a movie every 2 or 3 years. He's awesome in it, and that's
right. We respect him so much more than De Niro now.
Yeah,
I think so.
I think you have to.
And Dustin Hoffman.
At least De Niro got the Silver Linings Playbook role. Finally, something respectable in the last 10 years that you can still act.
What's the last great Nicholson film though?
Probably
he's in The Departed.
The Departed, right?
Yeah.
Would be the great one. But
that would be the great one. There's been some pretty good roles in there.
Kind of cashed in on anger management, but that's me.
That's true.
That was terrible.
Yeah,
that's a bad grab.
That's a bad role.
All right, happy birthday, Zarlis Zalapsky. He's 46. And
what a weirdo!
What's his favorite movie? Is he really?
I
don't know. We gotta go.
Maybe Borat or something.
The number one song, 1977. It's Thelma Houston with "Don't Leave Me This Way" in the disco era.
It really picks up in a couple minutes, but we're late, so we gotta go.
All right.
6 o'clock update on the way. Lots more on that, as Ryan mentioned. David Moyes out at Man United. How can you go to Brooklyn? We'll tell you after 6. It's Brady and Walker. I told you it would pick up. Not the show, but the song on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Trending now. Now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hey, R.A., let's see that Cy Young material tonight, pal. Manchester United fired David Moyes. And Jack Nicholson turned 77 today. Whoa, getting up there, eh, Jack?
Caution in your tone, Commander.
And that's what's trending now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. The champs beat the Blues.
The play ahead now for Taze with a shot. Here's scored! And got through Miller! And he has a look of disbelief.
Broussard. Out the other side, tries to center. It's scored!
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome to Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on your Tuesday, 6:03. Andrew Walker, Greg Brady, coming up. We got a very exciting email yesterday, as tonight it's the Raptors and the Brooklyn Nets.
I didn't think
Nets.
She was that hot, to be honest.
It's the Raptors and the Brooklyn Nets game 2 tonight, and it was unveiled to us that we will be giving away a trip to Brooklyn to see the Raptors play the Nets in game 4. So we'll tell you how you can qualify for that coming up after 8 o'clock this morning. But last night, big night, Greg, in the NHL postseason, and three teams, and I know we'll talk about Pittsburgh coming all the way back in the third to get by Columbus, but three teams were back at home, down 2-0, with their proverbial backs against the wall, and all three come through in shutout fashion. The Dallas Stars knock off Anaheim. It was Minnesota staying alive over Colorado, and Chicago gets by St. Louis.
Yeah, the sweep has become such a rare bird. Three of the last 30 series
really has, yeah,
have been sweeps, and just some oddities in there. And so expecting a sweep in any of these first-round series, although Montreal will go for it tonight against Tampa, is asking a lot. It, like we said, it happens about 10% of the time. But, yeah, big-time stay-alives for Dallas and Minnesota, but also the Cup champs. I mean, a lot of people like St. Louis just as much as they like San Jose. And now you wonder, Chicago's got a game 4 at home. David Backes is out, but Brent Seabrook is out. Maybe that's a... I don't know if that's an even trade,
it's a pretty damn close even trade.
Pretty even. And say what you will about the goals Corey Crawford let in the first two games, but he was absolutely there when he had to be last night. And by the narrowest of margins, Corey Crawford was good enough last night. St. Louis outshot Chicago 34-25. And we could agree Ryan Miller would probably want the Jonathan Toews goal back four minutes in. There was five hole from just inside the blue line.
Yep, no question he would. Now, there's two types of game 3 wins when you head back home down 2-0. There's the placebo effect, I like to call it. I mean, you'll put the 30th place team against the first place team in the NHL, and you go back home for your first playoff game. Doesn't matter what the series is at. The crowd's going crazy. You win that game more often than not. You really do. I bet if you go back over the last 5-10 years in the NHL, game 3 at home, I bet it's 75%, if not more, that home team wins it. So there's the everybody feels good win,
yeah,
and then you go out and you lay a dud in game 4, or it's a legitimate momentum-steering victory. Of these three, is there a series that you feel that game 4 is going to go back the other way, or are you really watching a series closely?
And I think it's the one I mentioned. I think it's Chicago's. I think Chicago's got the best chance to eclipse a 2-0 deficit because it's been there, done that. And that doesn't mean I even see Colorado and Anaheim on par with St. Louis. It just means not that Minnesota and Dallas are playing, hey, we're just happy to be here.
Yeah.
But the experience that the Blackhawks have, again, the whether that was a wake-up call, the Seabrook suspension, the Backes injury, you have to really like what the Blackhawks can do from this point. And the Blues, are the Blackhawks playing with house money? I wouldn't go that far because it's a disappointing season if they go out in 4 games or 5 games to a division rival. Sure it is, but
But the other teams, I mean, I know you watched a lot of Minnesota, Colorado last night as we were talking, and there's something. A lot of people did declare the Wild just dead and buried in that series. Just no chance. It's series over after two games. And that's a dangerous thing to do with a young team. And I'm not saying Colorado's going to spit out the bit here and give this away, but they're basically saying we didn't play our best game last night. If they'd won that game, it's the biggest steal for a goalie in the playoffs so far with Semyon Varlamov playing like he did.
Yeah, and that's the series I look at. Now, I picked Minnesota heading in. So maybe you know I'm biased. Maybe I'm looking for Minnesota to win this, but I did think that Minnesota had a real good chance to win this series with the Avs being so young. Now this is a 1-0 game in overtime, right? Colorado is a shot away from ending the Wild season. You're not coming back from 3-0 down. It doesn't happen in the NHL. It's happened twice in the last 50 years.
Yeah.
So as close as this score was, this game was all Minnesota. And as you said, Semyon Varlamov was outstanding. And finally, Granlund finds a way to score that beautiful goal in overtime, and Minnesota stays alive. I think Minnesota's a pretty good team here. And I would not be surprised if we eventually see a Game 7 here in Colorado.
Well, and there's another layer to that, Andrew. And before we get to our Tuesday morning six-pack, it's worth mentioning a devastating injury last night. And I think it's going to be water cooler talk this morning, because it involves everybody's hockey buddy, hockey pal, Matt Cook,
yeah,
who ended Mark Savard's career. He goes knee-to-knee on Tyson Barrie, and Barrie basically is finished for the playoffs. He's a torn MCL, ACL.
4 to 6 weeks, and he's turned into, we know about Eric Johnson, Tyson Barrie's turned into their best offensive D-man. That's a big loss for a D that's...
It's
pretty thin as it is.
So, yeah, you're asking a lot from the likes of Andre Benoit. You're asking a lot from the likes, you know, it's a lot more load for Eric Johnson's used to carrying the load for them there. But they're going to have to get through without, you know, if he's not their best all-around defenseman, he's their second best.
Yeah, and more on Matt Cook coming up. We will discuss it. It is an in-person hearing today. That and more in your Tuesday morning six-pack.
This is your Tuesday morning six-pack. Six things you need to start your day.
All right, number six, Brady and Walker, 609. Now, if you're just getting up this morning and you're an English Premier League fan, David Moyes, this was long rumored, but 1 year, or less than 1 year, I guess, after replacing Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United, he's been fired, sacked this morning.
They're going to finish about seventh. They're not going to play in Europe next year, which is a huge money generator to be in the Champions League or even in the Europa League. How about this, though? 20 Premier League teams. I mean, 3 get relegated every year, 3 get promoted. And 12 teams have changed their manager since June of last season. That's like 18 NHL teams.
It's an epidemic.
In the last 10 months, firing their coach. Is 18 out of 30.
I'll plead ignorance here. Is it like a baseball thing? Does the manager have an effect? Like if I was managing a team, could I?
Kick it! Pass it! Shoot it! Kick!
Run faster. Make that save.
Right.
You would not. I think that, but that's the thing. I think Man United's still talented enough that anybody who drove them out of the top 10 would be seen as unbelievably incompetent. So Moyes is just a little bit above that.
Kick it! No, kick it!
How about a chest stop for it,
right,
and then drop it to your feet? So yeah, I mean, it's usually all about talent and the budget of the teams. But this was, we just said it. Don't be really careful following a legend. Dave Lewis lasted 2 years replacing Scotty Bowman. Bulls have had plenty of coaches after Phil Jackson. It's tough to pull off.
Very true, very true. Number five, two series continuing in the NBA last night. A wild game in Oklahoma City. If you wanted drama, I mean, I thought that Minnesota-Colorado game was great, but this might have held its weight with that. Memphis, 111-105 over OKC in overtime. 25 points for Zach Randolph, including the final six. So that series is tied at one, and the play we'll remember from this one, OKC had to come back late, and it was Kevin Durant with a falling out of bounds 4-point play from the corner that only Kevin Durant could do.
And
it's
and it was a clear foul, and Marc Gasol tagged him up. Durant was, Durant wasn't even balanced. And why? I think we've had a lot in these playoffs so far. There's only been 10 playoff games in the NBA so far, but I've seen more fouls on three-point shots. Don't get even near it. Get up in the air, but don't get near him. It's like the Larry Johnson play in 99. Don't give points away. And they did last night. And Oklahoma City didn't win, so maybe it's less memorable.
And also, the Clippers destroy Golden State by 40, 138 to 98. That series tied at one as well. Blake Griffin, 35 points. Number four, the Blue Jays. They open up a home set with the Baltimore Orioles at the Rogers Center tonight. Want to talk about R.A. Dickey coming up later in the show. He will start tonight for the Blue Jays. It'll be Miguel Gonzalez for the Orioles. Jays are 10-9. Orioles are 8-9. 7:05 is your first pitch. Number three. All right, NHL playoffs. We'll start with Matt Cook. A knee-on-knee hit last night in that Minnesota game with Tyson Berry, the young Avs defenseman, very quietly in nearly a 40-point season this year for the Avs. It's Matt Cook. And I thought he was very, very unfairly lambasted for the whole Erik Karlsson thing. If you think if you think that's on purpose, you're crazy.
Yep.
He's been an angel pretty much for the last 3 years, but he has an in-person hearing today. He stuck out his knee, whether it was overly malicious or not. Tyson Berry's out 4 to 6 weeks, and Matt Cook is going to get the book thrown at him. I was on Twitter last night saying, I mean, I'm willing at this point to kind of give the reform benefit of the doubt a little bit to Matt Cook. I'm not saying he should be the director of NHL player safety anytime soon, but what does 3 years buy you? And in this case, it looks like not much.
Yeah, and I think without the injury, and that's the obvious thing I can say, without the injury, if Berry gets right back up again, all we're talking about is a minor penalty, a double minor at most. But because he's gone for the season, Matt Cook is probably gone for the season. We'll see what happens.
All right, so number two, the series last night, Minnesota does stay alive in that. As mentioned, 1-0. They get by Colorado. Dallas stays alive in essence now, 2-1, 3-0 over Anaheim. And Chicago does the same. They get by St. Louis, 2-0. But how about the Columbus Blue Jackets? They were minutes away, I suppose, half a third period away from taking a 2-1 series lead on Pittsburgh. Greg, they're up 3-1 in the third period, and in a two-minute span, they found themselves down 4-3.
Any cracks for you in Bobrovsky's reputation based on the series so far? Everyone's in on Marc-Andre Fleury, who won 30 games in two playoff years back-to-back in 08 and 09. Bobrovsky's not quite that established.
Yeah, but you know what? I didn't feel like there was that game-defining softy on Bobrovsky. Everything was kind of deflected in that run.
Nothing to do in the winter.
And he had made 50 consecutive saves. Then all of a sudden, they scored on three in a row.
Yeah, they were outshot 41-20 last night.
And the number one thing you need to know, Raptors-Nets, game two tonight, the ACC. Is this a must-win game for Toronto? Can you boil it down that simplistically?
You nailed it. And it's one thing to start 0-2 on the road and come back and know that three of the next five are at home. That's not the case here. I just think when you're playing a vet team, they're not going to not know how to handle a 2-0 edge.
Yeah.
And I believe the refereeing is going to rebound back tonight somewhat. I think people are, people are in on it, yeah, but we'll talk about it at 7 o'clock as to whether the league might like a Brooklyn-Miami second round. Sure they would. We all like lots of things in life, but it's one thing for three guys wearing, blowing whistles and wearing gray shirts to go out tonight and quote-unquote make that happen. I think the Raps are going to get their fair share of calls for them tonight, if not more than their fair share.
Our producer Ryan Favreau predicted not only a Raptor win tonight, but a Raptor throttle job of the Brooklyn Nets. And
I haven't had a throttle job
It's an interesting point.
But it is.
It wouldn't surprise me. I think they can be so much better. And this tonight, I mean, you have to approach it like Game 7.
So coming up, Alvin Williams will join us, former Raptor guard. What did he think of Saturday's Game 1 loss?
And you want to go see the Brooklyn Nets and Raptors in Game 4? We'll send you. Listen, after 6:30, we'll tell you how to qualify later this morning.
And we might stow away on the flight like that kid to Hawaii over the weekend.
Always the best sports talk on Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I think Terrence, it was a little difficult with the foul trouble. He got a couple quick whistles. That's going to happen because of his inexperience. And then all of a sudden, it takes him kind of out of the rhythm. He's not experienced enough to know how to deal with that yet. But I know he'll bounce back.
Raptors GM Masai Ujiri on Primetime Sports last night. He's a 25K lighter in the wallet today, but well worth it, I would think, if you ask most people around Raptors Nation. Raptors Nets game 2 tonight.
at the ACC. Brooklyn, on the strength of that Game 1 victory, looking to take a big lead in this series. It would be a big lead heading home to Brooklyn for Game 3. Raptors got to have it. Terrence Ross has to be better. Amir Johnson has to be better. DeMar DeRozan has to be better. You can follow our new Twitter account, at Brady and Walker. It's Andrew Walker and Greg Brady here on your Tuesday.
Yeah, it's it'll be interesting. Free throws were 25 for the Raptors, 27 for the Nets. Fouls, 19 for the Nets, 23 for the Raptors. A lot being made about the Raptors not getting a call in the fourth quarter. And but you mentioned the guys that need to be better offensively. I'd also say you got to limit Joe Johnson and Deron Williams. 48 points on 33 shots. They got to the line a ton. They were 14 of 14 when they got to the free throw line. So they can't play much better. But those are really good, proven playoff performers. Neither's been to the NBA Finals, but they know what to do when they get here in April.
Now, we saw a very, I'd say, average John Salmons in Game 1. It sounds like yesterday, if you believe what you read, that we're going to see a little more Landry Fields in Game 2, who's pretty strong on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, who we haven't seen much of, but they may slide him back into the rotation. He's had lots of issues. They wanted to play him actually late in the season, and he had a chest cold and you know, some big-time upper respiratory problems. So we'll see if he does play tonight.
So our next guest, it's been amazing to watch Kyle Lowry this season. The Villanova grad and career numbers in assists and 17.9 points a game. In a lot of ways, Kyle Lowry has kind of followed in the footsteps of one Alvin Williams.
I'd say that's pretty accurate. Yeah, our next guest, 8 years with the Raptors, and of course took the Raptors as a starter in the backcourt to the playoffs two different times, and the only playoff round win against the New York Knicks he was a big part of. Alvin Williams joins us on Brady and Walker. We were talking a lot yesterday, Alvin, and thanks for doing this, about the shot clock going off and how that would affect a point guard, a shooting guard, especially the front court guys. They just get the ball and go up with it when they can, but really, what would it be like? You probably never had a circumstance where you were playing without one.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important. You're just used to it. You're used to when the clock is ticking a little bit, and sometimes it's strategy, sometimes you run plays at certain times, and when we used to play and if it got below eight seconds, we would call red to make sure we went to exact play or stuff like that. So without you knowing those things, a lot of your tendencies and a lot of your habits could be thrown off a little bit.
Your impressions on Game 1 and how it relates to Game 2 coming up tonight, maybe specifically, Alvin, the veteran calls to veteran players. Did you think that the officials were catering to Brooklyn late in that game?
You know what? I really can't say. You have those situations where you see it a lot, but like you said, those guys are very, very savvy. They're veterans. Paul and Joe and their whole team is savvy as far as that their guard play, especially Kevin Garnett. So they know how to work the officials. They know how, and that whole game is like a strategy match. So I'm sure they were posturing all game to try to get calls, to get moves, maneuvers, and it worked to their advantage at the end.
Alvin Williams, our guest on Brady and Walker. What's your? It had to bring back some memories. How jacked the crowd was, and it's been a long time. I don't even think the couple of years they went to the playoffs with the Bosch teams here replicated the excitement that your group of Raptors brought to the city. What did Saturday remind you of from especially the 2 years, 2001 and 2002?
It reminded me just the little time. It's just, the outside. I got a chance to experience outside a little bit by addressing the crowd for a brief moment, but it was unbelievable. The energy, and you already expect that from the Toronto fans. I mean, I've seen the energy there when we were losing. So I knew what to expect, but it's always good, especially I used to always talk to Kyle, and I just wanted him to experience that, or get a chance to see how good the city is from that aspect, and that day was nothing short of that.
You mentioned Kyle Lowry. That's a guy that, in a lot of ways, you look back at your careers, is kind of following in your footsteps a little bit. Your thoughts on his game, his season, and what he's meant to this team as a leader?
I mean, he's coming around. I haven't been there this year, so I can't give you the locker room presence or the relationship with other players and stuff. But it's an indication of how successful they are. You don't have too many of those issues, internal issues, with the teammates and the coaching staff. It seems like everyone on the same page. But you know, I'm sure he's trying his best and he's doing well as far as trying to be a leader for the team. On the floor, he's playing at a level of probably definitely one of the best guards in the NBA, point guards in the NBA right now. But the level he's playing at and that game with he and Darren Williams, it's such a physical game. I'm sure you guys seen it too. They're beating each other up and they're going at each other like an old school playground game. So it's very exciting to see. And he's made for this. He's built for this situation and he couldn't wait for this opportunity. So I'm still looking forward to see how he responds tomorrow also.
Alvin Williams, our guest, 8 years here in Toronto, of course, in the Raptors' backcourt. We were also discussing whether the Raptors are building a rivalry with the Nets. I think it has to come through playoffs. They show that great Bad Boys documentary, the 30 for 30, and you realize what rivals. You probably had it more in college maybe than your NBA career. Villanova's got to beat Georgetown, and you got to beat Providence. Did you feel when you were playing you built a rivalry with another team, or was it just in playoff series?
It comes to the playoff series because it's really magnified, and, you know, that's where everything's at stake. So when you have two teams battling and it's something where, you know, every game means something, every possession means something, words are shared and, you know, statements are made and, you know, articles are created. So with those things being happening, and then when you have great players going at one another, it's one of those things. Like, I just remember playing the Sixers, and when we went game 7, that became something where even the upcoming season and regular season games, it was pretty a highly anticipated game, waiting for the Vince Carter matchup, waiting for the Allen Iverson matchup, and just waiting for that experience again. But, you know, it definitely comes with the playoffs.
My memory of 02 is that with the Pistons, it was a best of 5 still then, and there was some debate about, were the American fans booing "Oh Canada"? Were the Canada fans booing "Star Spangled"? And the players were like, "It's all Greek to us. We're just here to play." But the fans started disliking each other more than the players did.
Exactly. I remember even when we played the Knicks, and someone would say, I think it might have been Game 5 also, and they booed the Canadian national anthem, and I was pissed off. I'm American myself, but I was pissed off because, you know, that was part of us now, and that's who we're representing, but. You know, it gets really exciting, gets intense, and there's no other feeling. Trust me, it's the best feeling in the world when you get a chance to be on a big stage, high level basketball, and your fans are behind you, your opponent's fans are against you, and you get an opportunity to play well. So, I wish all these players the best, man. I wish DeMar and all these guys really can enjoy this experience.
Former Raptor Alvin Williams, our guest, heading into Game 2, everybody's excited for it. It's a big game. From what you saw in Game 1, what's the single biggest adjustment this Raptors team has to make? Was it just all about nerves in Game 1, do you think?
No, I think the Raptors didn't play poorly. They didn't play, I think it was more so Brooklyn. The matchups that Raptors have, I mean, from a fan looking and from just a former player, they have tough matchups. And Terrence Ross has a tough matchup. DeMar has a tough matchup. You know, they have experience and big perimeter players. And Sean Livingston, he's coming and he's playing phenomenally. And it's just one of those things where Raptors got a tough matchup. So they're going to have to make some adjustments on the perimeter. I don't know whether it's doubling. I don't know what the case may be. But and I think some more of the bench players for the Raptors may have to step up. John Salmons, I tell you, he would be a big part of it. Hopefully he can get his game going because he could be someone to bring to expertise and versatility on the court. But the Raptors do have a tough matchup on perimeter, but I think Game 2, they will make those adjustments and come out even more sharp.
A lot of great memories and some great stuff with Alvin Williams this morning. Alvin, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Alvin Williams joining us this morning. Of course, ex-Raptor and a good link to some pretty memorable basketball times here. And as we said, you know, we got to look at the TV ratings yesterday. Highest rated NBA game in Toronto in a dozen years. It wasn't even close in Canada. And they're also hurt by a 9:30 Pacific time start. So you're going to see big time numbers tonight. I know there's NHL games going on too, and Montreal plays. But I'll tell you what helps. It helps that Montreal is so far ahead in this series. And this is, if you're local enough, I'd love to see the Ontario numbers broken down. I really would. I'm not saying more people will watch basketball than the Canadians and Lightning, but in the GTA, yeah, they will. I believe that.
I think if you're a sports fan, you want to see theater. And, I mean, listen, people like watching the Blue Jays. People like watching the Montreal Canadiens tonight. If you want theater, I mean, you know, people are going to be paying attention to that Raptors game. There's no doubt about it. There's
there's a lot of storylines that could come into effect tonight. We'll talk about some of them. The officiating is one of them.
Yeah.
Right? The veteran players on Brooklyn is another one. Can Toronto play better? I didn't play very well in game one. Either way, we are sending somebody to game four in Brooklyn. What a trip that will be. After 8:30 this morning, we're going to play 5 and 15. That game show is back. You pick sports or non-sports, and you got to name five things in a category we give you in 15 seconds.
We'll take qualifiers today and tomorrow and Friday morning. Also, the Jeff Blair Show will after us, 9 to 11. Tim and Sid will 1 to 4 today also.
Still to come, Matt Cook in hot water again. What should he get for a knee on knee against Tyson Berry last night?
And lots of baseball, 4 NHL playoff games, 2 NBA playoff games to choose from. It's best and worst.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Keep it here for more Brady and Walker, only on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I'm not working for the league, and I'm sure that they will make the right call. We're very confident they will make the right call.
As Patrick Waugh, postgame last night, the Colorado Avalanche lose their game 1-0 in Minnesota. And I don't say more importantly, but equally so, they lose one of their best defensemen, the young Tyson Berry, who had a really good season, 38 points, and was really good in the first two games of this series as well. As he goes knee-on-knee with our old buddy, Matt Cook, back in the news again for all the wrong reasons. It is 6:43, Brady and Walker, Andrew Walker, Greg Brady. Your reaction, real time, to watching Matt Cook go knee on knee. It feels like it feels like this has happened a couple of months ago. But the fact of the matter is, Matt Cook has been pretty quiet for 3 years now. It's a long time.
And you said it earlier about the Carlson thing. You're right on the money. No more so than Zach Cassian on David Boland. Is that this year? Is that a The plays were so similar. You want a guy to keep his skate down. And was it an awkward hit? Yeah, sure it was. But you're right. I can't think of anything in his time in Minnesota or even his last run of things in Pittsburgh. But sometimes the chickens come home to roost and you kind of, you are who you are. It's been shocking. We did, 10-year anniversary of Bertuzzi and Moore. And I don't think anyone argues, Andrew, that Bertuzzi, you saw him in Calgary. I saw him up close and personal in Detroit. I don't think anyone argues. He played differently after that. He seemed a lot more hesitant to engage.
Oh, sure.
Cook was the opposite after Savard. It's almost like Cook didn't mind. I don't want to say he minded losing the money, and he minded getting penalties for, he minded being a target of officials. But it didn't stop him. The run on Del Zotto got him a longer suspension than anything.
McDonough, yeah.
McDonough, yeah.
I have a lot of different thoughts that always kind of conflict with each other on Matt Cook. Because all you have to do is look on social media or read some articles and find out where media allegiances lie. And so there was some Ottawa reporters on Twitter last night. And the one thing I take issue with is, Matt Cook is a despicable human being. How would you know? How would you know? You don't know, right?
Yeah, the whole good guy, bad guy media thing, you and I don't pay attention to that.
He's 5 foot nothing, and he's always played on the edge. Now, did he get into a bad run of things? Absolutely he did. He came within a hair of getting the Patrick Kaleta treatment and being out of the league, right? The Savard hit is brutal. The McDonough hit was brutal. And he was told, you got to change your game. You have to, or else you're out. And I'd like to think that he kind of did. Signed a nice 3-year deal in Minnesota after it looked like he was on the up and up in Pittsburgh. We haven't heard a peep from him for 3 years. And I felt bad for Matt Cook with the whole fallout from the Erik Karlsson thing. Because if you think that was on purpose, you're an idiot.
And I don't like good guy, bad guy. And I agree with you. Listen, last week, some kid in Tampa's favorite NHL player is Ryan Malone. So it's up to dad or mom to say, this is why Ryan Malone's not playing right now. Lots of kids in Boston, their favorite football player was Aaron Hernandez.
Sure.
Son, let me sit down. I got some explaining to do. So I never worry about that. I mean, that stuff on ice, off ice, on field, off field. But I do think he's in big trouble. I think he's in huge trouble for what happened last night. And I think deservedly so. He He could have cost the guy his career. We'll never know if he will impact Barry's career. And he's already cost guys, he's cut down other guys maliciously. Now, I can't get into intent to injure, but it's Cook on Savard's as close as I can see to a guy looking to hurt a guy.
With a lot of knee on knees, and yeah, I should preface all of this by saying it sounds like I'm defending Matt Cook, and I was defending him a little bit last night, just to the tune of, I'm not saying that it wasn't a bad hit, because it was a bad hit. You go to hit Tyson Barry, he makes a good move, and I think there's an embarrassment factor when you go to hit a guy and you miss. And it's kind of your natural reaction, as predatory as it sounds, to stick out your knee. And he did, and it's a dirty play, and Barry's out for 4-6, and yes, Matt Cook should be suspended. But there are some out there that see this, and God, they want Matt Cook drawn and quartered because it's Matt Cook. Well, they want him suspended for life. That's the final straw. It's the final strike. And I think that's where I disagree.
But let me ask you, before we do best and worst, we've got about a minute. When do we get there to... This guy shouldn't play in the league anymore. We've given you chance after chance. I said last night, I asked people and I said, let's stop with what you think he should get. What do you think he will get? The number in my head, if you count playoff games in, because what did Torres get off of Hossa? Because it carried deep into next year. It cost him a round and a half of the playoffs on a Coyotes run that year, right?
It ended up being 20, right? Is that?
Yeah, but I don't think Cook gets that.
No.
I think he gets 12. So if he misses, say, two games in this series, I think he's missing at least the first 10 of next year. I'd be shocked if it's 5 or 6. What Domi did to Niedermeyer in 01's the same. Like, it had to bleed over in the next season.
My question was, though, it's because if this would have happened 2 weeks after the McDonough thing, yeah, you're out of the league. You're being sent, you're given a year, and you're being sent down to the A. We might never see you again. But he's kept his nose clean for 3 years. And what is that worth? And I thought it would be worth a little more in the sense of, I thought maybe he'd get 2 games, 3 games, but now he's an in-person hearing. So he's getting at least 5. And you're probably right. It's probably upwards of 10 to 12 because you cost Tyson Barry the rest of the playoffs.
More on it. It's on our, it's our poll question this morning, sportsnet590.ca. What do you think Matt Cook will get? We've got basically 1 to 5. We know he's getting something, 6 to 8, more than 8. And right now, 1 to 5 is winning out by a tone of 70% against the other two. Lots more on it. Tyson Barry is done for the season, and it certainly hurts the Avs' chances going forward. If not in this round, then next round against Chicago or St. Louis. Let's touch on some of those results from last night. 3 teams counter 2-0 deficits and get back in their series. Let's do best and worst.
Best,
Jonathan Taves.
And worst,
Jonathan Chichu.
With Brady and Walker.
Very authoritative. Yeah. One has 56 cups. One has had 56 goals 1 year. Jonathan Chichu is one of the most amazing. 56, 39, 32, 22, 12, 8.
Yeah.
Like his goals, just goals went down every year. Just ridiculous.
Like gas leaking out of a tank.
Best and worst. We had baseball last night. We had a couple NBA playoff games. We had NHL. We take a look at best win, worst loss, best player, worst player. All right, so worst player. Right off the bat, I'll give it to, there's one game in the American League East yesterday for baseball. Baltimore and the Red Sox. It was a matinee. Baltimore got out to an early 6-0 lead, and they did it on Clay Buchholz, who falls to 0-2 in 2 1/3, gave up 7 hits and 6 earned runs and loses to the Orioles. So Clay Buchholz got knocked around. I will give him worst player.
Going to see him at Rogers Center this weekend. And yeah, at last April out of the gate, everybody was rolling for Boston. Lester, Buchholz, Felix Dubron had good starts. John Lackey before and after his injury. They're struggling with starting pitching right now. Best player, I'm going to stick with pitcher. And give it to Cliff Lee, who was excellent last night at Chavez Ravine in L.A. Still got it. 8 shutout innings. Didn't walk anybody. And 10 strikeouts. He shaves his ERA down. He's had one really bad outing this year. Another loss where he got no run support. But in a lineup that's got Puig and Ramirez and Gonzalez and Kemp, did a great job last night. I know expectations are pretty low for the Philadelphia Phillies this year. But they're hanging in around 500, better than some thought they'd be. Some picked them to be last behind Miami. in the and the Mets in the NL East this year.
Now, for best player, some honorable mentions. You could have given it to one of a number of goalies last night. Kari Lehtinen was great in a shutout. Darcy Kemper, the rookie. Yep. I have some more thoughts on him coming up. He gets a shutout. Corey Crawford, Stanley Cup winning netminder. He gets a shutout. And the best of them all might have been Semyon Varlamov. 45 saves the Colorado Avalanche. All right, so best win from last night. I'm going to give it to Minnesota. This was a team that I picked to win this series, and last night they get it done 1-0 in overtime over Colorado. The Matt Cook incident kind of stole some of the headlines, but not to be outdone. They completely dominated Colorado, I thought, in this game, and only Varlamov, who had a Vezina-type season. He might win the Vezina when it's all said and done this year, but he kept the Avs in it, and only a Mikael Granlin goal for Minnesota basically kept their season alive, and all of a sudden they get a chance to even this thing up at two.
So who's the most on Colorado's blue line really quick?
Eric
Johnson plays the most minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the onus on to step up in Barry's absence? Like we said, Barry night in, night out has been their most consistent guy a lot of the season.
Jan Hayda is their shutdown guy. And in terms, it's tricky. A lot of people don't know how Colorado's done it with that blue line. You have Andre Benoit, a bit of a cast-off. Holden, who nobody thought, he played in the Western League. Nobody thought that guy was going to make the NHL. There he is.
Yeah, there's talk they're gonna even give Duncan Siemens a go, who played in Saskatoon,
sure, yeah.
who's a former
first round pick.
Yeah, 11th overall pick, who's never played an NHL game, but they've got him traveling with the team now, that we may see him in this series. All right, worst loss. You can't lose an NBA playoff game by 40.
Especially after Golden State won the opener.
Right. You're not totally overmatched, but Golden State did that last night. They were up 1-0 after winning on the road, and they lose 138-98 to Blake Griffin and the Clippers. Blake Griffin only played 19 minutes. He got in foul trouble on Saturday in Game 1. It did go to overtime, and they couldn't utilize him a lot. But last night, Griffin had no fouls. No fouls in the game. And at 35 points and 6 rebounds, they shot 57% against Golden State's defense.
There's no Andrew Bogut down low for Golden State, and they're going to expose that the rest of the series. And Blake Griffin last night just scoring for fun on the interior.
We remember,
and it's going to be really tough for Golden State the rest of the way.
Everybody who followed the NBA remembers how amazing Jermaine O'Neal was, but that was 10, 11 years ago, and now they have to play him. Because Bogut's out. So O'Neal started last night, only lasted 15 minutes, and Griffin just toyed with him, going over and around him a bunch of different times. So we've got lots to talk about with Raptors and the Nets. Cathal Kelly wrote an interesting piece in the Globe and Mail that we'll feed off of just a touch, saying the uphill battle is because of who the Raptors are. Why that might be true, but also why it might not, from us next.